You're not going to get psychological depth anywhere else in the Hebrew Bible the way in which you get it here.
Good morning, everybody. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are on a firm foundation here on Rise Up, live from America, LFA TV, the Rise Up audience, worshipers around the world. We have fellowship from all corners of the country here this morning on this beautiful, wonderful Wednesday, May 22nd, year of our Lord, 2024. I'm so very blessed to be here with you guys. Thank you so much. Today's show is going to be pretty powerful, actually. And I was talking to producer Eli before the show. And he was just like, whoa, you know, that's pretty crazy what happened last night. When we get to the end of this show today, you'll be like blown away. Okay. I am not on my newsletter. Well, definitely check out your newsletters. Anybody who subscribes to the newsletter, to the Revolution newsletter, you should be able to open up your newsletter this morning. I sent them out, oh, I don't know, probably about 15, 20 minutes ago. So I would assume that you have it by now. But if you didn't get it, or if you don't follow the newsletter, definitely go to jeremyharrell.com, sign up for the newsletter. And we try to send them out every single day. Sometimes that happens, sometimes that doesn't. Eileen Jimenez says, a firm, focused foundation on the Father. Amen. Amen. 100%. Sue says, it's my 60th birthday. Can you sing? Well, of course I can. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sue. Happy birthday to you. And I love the fact that you and Sue rhyme, that we don't get that often. Today is Caden's last day. We are taking him to his favorite restaurant for dinner tonight. Hope it's not Red Lobster. They're all closing. Kittenhead, thank you very much. Says, I got my newsletter. God bless. That's great. Mad Test says, I got the newsletter. Perfect. Thank you very much for confirming that. Make sure you guys are logged into your profiles. Make sure that you have rumbled this video. And definitely make sure. Look, you don't have to share this on your walls if you don't want to. I understand. Everybody asks you to share every day. But what I will ask you is with Rise Up, especially with the newsletter, forward it to your fellowship church goers. Show it. What do you want to call it? Forward that email to people that are in your church, around your church, godly people that you know in your families. Because with Rise Up, we definitely want to bring in folks who have never heard the word of God, but there's a lot of low-hanging fruit out there that would be, I think, that would benefit tremendously from joining Rise Up. Maybe they already believe in God. Maybe they've got a worship with God. I mean, a relationship with God. Maybe they did it one time, and they've since fallen away. That's what today's show is going to be about, returning to the Lord. But the story that I have to tell you that mixes in with today's verse is going to blow your mind. But right now, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Please join with me. Bow your heads, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, midnight messages, I like to call them, are most often the most effective way to message somebody. And Lord, I know it is that way for me. In the middle of the night, when you're not hearing and seeing the hustle and bustle of this very temporary and finite world, we can really hear you. We can really see you. We can really feel you without any distractions. Those midnight messages I hold so dear to my heart, Lord, and I thank you so very much for speaking to me when I can give you all of my focus and all of my attention without distraction. It is so powerful. Thank you for that last night. Thank you for the message this morning. And I ask you to bless this podcast or this Godcast and help us spread the gospel, not the gossip, to more people every single day. And we pray this all in accordance with your will. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you get midnight messages from your Father in heaven? How many of you wake up in the middle of the night once, twice, three times because God is speaking to you and you have to wake up? You may not have to wake up and get up, but you have to wake up and acknowledge what he's trying to say. It happens to you. Well, I don't know if it happens to you, but to me, the further I get with Jesus, the more it happens. And today we're going to break down one of those in the most amazing way possible. Now let's go to the description of today's show. Episode number 352 already. Last night at 11:30 p.m., I woke up with the Lord telling me to look at the book of Joel. Now, I have to tell you, I've got a hair on my hat here. I have to tell you, I never remember about the book of Joel, ever. Matter of fact, when I hear it or see it, I go, oh yeah, I always forget about that book. And I only remember ever reading from that book one time on Live from America and didn't even remember reading it until I read it. That is how little the book of Joel is ever in my mind. That was at 11:30 last night. I went back to sleep. And I woke up again around 1:30. Now at 11:30 when I woke up, my phone was dead. Usually if I get up in the middle of the night, I go to the bathroom or get a drink of water. I check my phone, just a habit. And when I got up at 11:30, my phone was dead. So at 11:30, I plugged my phone in, went back to sleep with, for whatever reason, Joel on my mind. 2 hours later, at 1:30 a.m., I woke up with another command. Now this time, I got out of bed, grabbed my phone, pushed the power button on. If you know how your phone, it takes a little bit to turn on. And I went to the bathroom. When I came out of the bathroom, get ready to lay back down, I grabbed my phone because it was fully on. I turned it on, and the first thing that came on must have been the last thing that I had up last night before I went to bed, was Instagram. So I went to my newsfeed on Instagram, just trying to, you know, shake off cobwebs, thinking of this command that I woke up with twice now. And the first thing, and I, honest to God, ladies and gentlemen, the first thing that pops up is because I follow on Instagram, is I follow a lot of gospel channels. So the first thing that pops up is a meme that says, and it's one of those videos that play a music for like 14 seconds and then it plays over again and then you got to play it again just to see it. It pulls up this meme and it says, God said in big words. Then it had the verse in small words. And then at the bottom of the verse, it had the verse in big words again. So at 1:30 a.m., the only thing my eyes were drawn towards was God said, didn't even read the verse because it was tiny and I was tired. But at the bottom of the verse, it said Joel 2. I got the screenshot right here. I'll show it to you. Joel 2:13. Here's the screenshot. See, they want you to press play, but that was on Instagram. So this is just the screenshot. There it is right there. God said. And I looked at the bottom and said, Joel 2:13. It blew my mind at 1:30 this morning. So I screenshot it because I couldn't open my eyes enough to really read it. So I said, I'll read that in the morning. So now twice, at 11:30 and 1:30, God woke me up at 11:30 and said something about the book of Joel. Read the book of Joel. At 1:30 a.m., I woke up, went to the bathroom, looked at my phone. The first thing that I see is this message from Joel 2:13. And I'm like, okay, I got to screenshot that because that's crazy. Lord, I don't know what you're trying to tell me. I'm very tired. I love you. Thank you for giving me a message. I can't wait to find out what it is. Go back to sleep. This is going to blow your mind. Ready? I get up this morning, and normally I have coffee and do my devotional at home. But lately I've been coming to work very, very early because I'm trying to get myself in a new time frame, because when we move to Iowa in 16 days, I'm going to be an hour behind. So I need to start acclimating myself to that time frame. So I've been coming to work, getting my coffee here, and doing my devotional here alone. So I come to work this morning, make my coffee, sit down, start putting together the two shows. I usually put together Part of Live from America and Rise Up at that same time frame. So because I only have an hour in between Rise Up and Live from America to get ready with stories that I've been researching or whatever. So I do as much as I can in the morning. So I come to work and I'm praying and I'm looking at things and I'm reading through devotionals and I forget all about the book of Joel. Has your house sold yet? No, it hasn't. Praying for that too. Anyway, I forget all about the book of Joel. I forget about the 11:30. I forget about the 1:30. I forget about the meme. I forget about the screenshot. I didn't even think about it. I get here and I start doing what you see right here. And what this says is, for some reason, I wrote down how to read the Bible as a new Christian so that you can understand who Christ is, so that you can come to the Lord. Blew my mind, right? But hold on, I haven't even thought about the book of Joel yet. I'm writing down chronological books that will help a newcomer to Christ or somebody who's fallen away years ago come back to Jesus, but you can't come to him for the first time or for the second time if you don't know who he is. So here I wrote down John, Mark, Matthew, Luke, and I'm writing all this stuff down. I get all the way down to where you see this line right here, and I remember the book of Joel. And I go, oh, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Why did I come here this morning, search through archived stuff, pray and do devotional to come to this, when I already had a word of God and a command of God twice last night to go to the book of Joel? So I'm already pretty much done this. I'm all the way down to here, right? And I threw this aside and I said, I can't do that because I need to go to the book of Joel. Now, mind you, if you remember, I did not read the verse. I did not know what the verse was. The only thing that I knew was Joel 2:13. So I didn't even go to Joel 2:13. The first thing that I did when I remembered that I got to go to the book of Joel, I didn't grab my phone. I went right to my computer, right to my Bible, and I opened up and brought up the book of Joel, and I went to 2:1. I remembered Joel 2. Matter of fact, at 11:30, God said Joel 2. At 1:30 a.m., I saw a meme that was Joel 2:13. So I knew to go to Joel 2. So I went right to Joel 2:1, and I started reading. Crazy thing about it is Joel 2:1 through 2:12 is the only thing of Joel I've ever read on Rise Up. It was one of the earliest shows on Rise Up, and it was talking about when the Lord comes back, what's going to happen. Like, what's going to happen to those unbelievers at that time? And I go, wow, that's crazy. But that doesn't feel like it was the message. I still haven't looked at my phone. So I'm reading and I'm reading and I'm reading and I'm reading. I don't want to be falsely led to something. I want to read until the Holy Spirit feels it. So I'm reading and I get to verse 12. And the title of verse 12 through 17 just happens to be named Return to the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, check this out. I go to the verse, and it's Joel 2:13. When I read Joel 2:12, and I read Return to the Lord, and I knew right away, I didn't even look at this yet. I knew right away, that's it. That's it. That is what God wanted me to do today. A message about returning back to the Lord. But you have to know him to return to him. You have to know him to come to him for the first time. You don't just go to somebody and start following somebody that you don't know. You do your research. You find out who this man is. So when I read, return to the Lord, yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and with mourning, I went then grabbed the phone and went to that verse. That exact verse. So when I read this morning and hadn't even looked at the phone yet to remember what I screenshot, the Lord was speaking to me, verse 12, this is it right here, 12 through 17. This is what I want you to read. I go and look at my phone, it's verse 12, 13, the one right after 12, which says, and rend your hearts and not your garments, return to the Lord, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. All right, check this out. Ready for this? Then I come to this, which is what I wrote, not even subconsciously, not even really knowing or thinking about the verse of last night. And it says, how to read the Bible for a new Christian so you can have a relationship with Christ. And I put it in chronological order. And this says, return to the Lord. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I am absolutely blown away by all of this. Not because, oh, thank you, Michelle Curl, for letting us know. That's awesome. That is so awesome. Good job. Good job. I'm blown away by all this, not because that I'm shocked that God speaks in such a wonderful way that if you're actually seeking and listening, you're going to find it. You're going to know exactly where to go. You're going to know exactly what to do. I'm shocked, mostly, and surprised that he can continue to surprise us, that he can continue to bring miracles and messages that go make our jaw drop. So through all of this, from 11:30 last night until 9:30 today, my jaw has been like this. Absolutely like that. So now I want to, Jeremy, when you do your show, 9 Eastern time or Central, it's going to be the same time it is now. That's why I said I have to acclimate to a different time, because I actually have to do this show earlier out there. It'll be on at 8 Central like it is right now. Jeremy's getting prophecy. Is that what that is? I don't know. Is that what that is? Like, is prophecy the Lord speaking to you? Or is prophecy the Lord telling you what's going to happen? And if it's the Lord telling you what's going to happen, I don't really like verse 1 through 11. You know what I mean? But it's true and it's honest. And it's just amazing to me. It's amazing how he can speak to you in the most incredible ways, in the most strange times of the day. Have you ever prayed a fleece prayer? No, I have not. I don't know what that is. Patriotic Patty says, where do I start in the Bible to further my understanding of Jesus? Boom. Girl, Baby girl, as AOC would say, do I got a message for you today? First of all, let me go back and read through the verses, and then we're going to teach a little bit about Jesus. Can we do that? Is that okay? I think it is. Let me read for you, return to the Lord, verse 12 through 17. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not return or not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children, even the nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, quote, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the next verse, 18 through 27, is all about the Lord has pity. The Lord desires everybody to have a relationship with him. But we can't be saved. We can't be guided. We can't be fulfilled. We can't be righteous at all, not even this much, without knowing Jesus. So here I am writing this morning without even thinking about the verses that I just read, how to know Jesus better. And then it hits me, knock, knock, hey, dummy, remember 11:30 and 1:30? There's a message you need to speak about. I go and look at the message, and the message is return to the Lord. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you may not feel it, but I feel it. You may feel it, I don't know. But that to me is like, I mean, that to me is rock solid right there. Fleeces the prayer that Gideon asked God to show him that it was God speaking to him. Oh, okay, yeah, no, I know that story. Yeah, I know that story. No, I've never done the fleece prayer, but I do know what you're talking about. Okay, all right. I'm preparing for the rebirth, says Amanda. Jeremy, next stage is preparing for the spiritual birth. This chapter is called A Call to Repentance in My Green, said No Eva Braun. All right. Somebody wanted to know how to know Jesus better? Well, here we go. We're going to tell you right now. Here's how you read to know who Jesus is. And here's what to read to know exactly who Jesus is. Okay? For whether you're going to him for the first time or whether you're going to him for the second, third, fourth time, you can't go to him or back to him if you don't know him. If he is a stranger to you, then how can you even have a relationship with him? You can't. You can't be strangers. The best way to not be a stranger, stranger danger, is to read these books in this fashion, which I'm about to tell you. Okay? Number one, I advise you to read the book of John in the New Testament, in the Gospels. It's the fourth book in the Gospels, if you're going in order of the Bible. John teaches you, the reader, who Jesus is. Then you go to the book of Mark, which teaches you what Jesus did. When you read a book of John, you find out who he is. When you read the book of Mark, you find out what he did. Then you go to the book of Matthew, because that teaches you what Jesus said. So you've got who he is, what he did, what he said, and then you read the book of Luke, which teaches you what Jesus felt. These books will teach you who Jesus is and the works that he has done on this earth and the teaching that he said. He is the ultimate role model for anyone and everyone. People in today's world love to seek somebody to follow. There are very few leaders in today's world. Everybody's a follower. We live in a digital TikTok, Facebook, Instagram world. I follow this guy. I follow this guy. I follow this guy. But people are always looking to find someone to follow and mirror. If they knew about Jesus, if they knew who Jesus was, what Jesus did, what Jesus said, and what Jesus felt, if they knew these things, they would want to follow him. Everybody wants to be good. Nobody is good. Everybody wants to be good. So if everybody wants to be good, then you tell me another teacher on earth of all time who taught better life practices than Jesus of Nazareth. Name me one, and I'll call you a liar, and I'll prove you wrong. Or I'll call you ignorant, and I'll prove you wrong. If they knew who Jesus was, if they knew what he did, if they knew what he said, if they knew what he preached, if they knew what he believed, they would want to follow him inherently. Who wouldn't? Because when you follow him, and when you act like him, and when you mirror him, which this society just loves to do anyways, you find pure bliss when you're on a journey with him. Pure joy, unlike anything you've ever felt in your life. You know they have TikTok challenges, right? Oh, I want to do what this person did. I want to follow what this person did. It's a trend. Everything is trend. Follow what I do. Do what I do. Mirror what I do. Can we have a Jesus of Nazareth trend? Can we have a be like Jesus trend? Because I'll guarantee you, if you challenged somebody to be like Jesus, they wouldn't be able to do it. A non-believer, and most believers, they wouldn't be able to do it. But just to get them, just to challenge them to try. Okay, if Jesus is not the way, the truth, and the life, if the things Jesus stands for, did, talked about, said, and believed and felt are not the ultimate goodness, then you do it. I'll bet you can't do it. That's what I would say to somebody. I will bet you $1,000 that you can't act like Jesus for one day, let alone a week, a month, or a year, or a lifetime. I'll bet you $1,000 that you can't act like Jesus for one day. Make them, challenge them to do it. And the only way that they'd be able to do it is if you taught them who he was. If you read those books in order, John, Mark, Matthew, and Luke, in that order, and you said, here's your blueprint, here's your instructions, you have one day, I'll give you a day to read these four gospels, and then tomorrow, you need to act like Jesus. There's your TikTok challenge. If you do it, you win $1,000. You know what's going to happen? A, everybody's going to want to do it. Not even for the money, for the trend to say, I told you I could do it. Your God ain't that good. Jesus wasn't that good. See, I even lived like Jesus. No, you didn't. because you did X, Y, Z. Actually, you did A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z things wrong. Couldn't do it. But I'll challenge you to try. What happens is you're going to plant seeds. You're going to get them to read the Bible. And once you read the Word of God, baby, boom, you are fish hooked. Can't get out of it. You just can't. Especially if you read about Jesus, whom you think didn't even exist. Whom you think wasn't perfect. Once you know him, by reading John, Mark, Matthew, and then Luke, once you know Jesus, you want to know what the best part is after that? Prequels. Everybody here a Star Wars fan at some point in their life, I'm sure, right? Episode 4, 5, and 6 came out, what, Eli, in the 70s and 80s, right? Late 70s, early 80s, was that what it was? 77 was the first one, and then, so 4, 5, and 6 came out late 70s, early 80s. It was always meant to have a prequel. George Lucas always meant to do episode 1, 2, and 3 when technology caught up, right? Then you went back and you found out, oh my gosh, oh, Luke Skywalker. Oh, he was a baby in these. Oh, wow, look at that. Once you know who Jesus is, then you go back to the Old Testament, the Torah. You go back to the Old Testament, and then you start reading, and you go, hey, there's Jesus. Hey, there's Jesus. Hey, look, there's Jesus in Leviticus. There's Jesus in Genesis. There's Jesus in Exodus. Whoa, there's Jesus in Deuteronomy. Jesus, what are you doing in Psalms? Jesus, I see you in Proverbs. Hey, Jesus is in Isaiah. There he is. See what I'm saying? Once you know him, you see him everywhere. And if you know him and see him, you can run to him. Or you can run back to him. Whichever you choose. I think that's the coolest thing today for me. Going back and reading the Old Testament and finding Jesus. Seeing him in the Old Testament throughout, from the beginning all the way up until the end of the Old Testament. He's everywhere. He is everywhere, but you never see that. So here's what people say. Ready? Where's the best place to start in the Bible? Most people would say at the beginning. Most people would say that, and I wouldn't say that's wrong. What I would say is this. If you want a better understanding of both the Old and the New Testament, read the Gospels in that order first, then go back to Genesis. Once you read the Gospels in that order, and then you understand who Jesus is, what Jesus said, what Jesus did, and what Jesus felt, then you go back to Genesis and you see Jesus at the very beginning. You see him there. It's incredible. And I am a baby when it comes to my knowledge of the Bible. I am an infant when it comes to my wisdom of the Word of God. But I could tell you one thing. Nobody else woke me up at 11:30 last night, told me to look in the book of Joel, which I forget and never even realize or remember that it's there. Nobody else re-woke me up 2 hours later and said, hey, I told you, book of Joel. AI did not put the meme in front of my eyes that said, oh, Joel 2:13. Nobody told me other than God to come here this morning and talk about how to come to Jesus or come back to Jesus. God did, period. There is no other explanation for it, folks. So I decided this morning that we'd start out in the book of John in living the 66 books of the Bible. Is your mind not blown this morning, you guys? I mean, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm overthinking this or over-dramatizing this, but it's just the revelation of things is so powerful for me because it's not just that moment that is so powerful and miraculous for me. It's a life-changing moment for me. Every time something like this happens, it is a massive life-changing moment for me. Something in my life will now change permanently because of what happened at 11:30 p.m. and 1:30 a.m. My life will forever change. So to me, on my journey, that's why I'm like, you guys got to see this. Oh, you got, and you got, and some of you might be like, hey, it's not that big of a deal. I feel it is. I feel it is. Carla says, for a small book, it sure is a super big one. Amen. Godchick says, doesn't that make you feel so loved by the Father God, Jeremy, that God would do that? Oh my gosh, yes. Oh my gosh, yes. Like, you have a billion other things that you could be doing, and you probably are, but you come and talk to me in the middle of the night? Me, the wretch that I am? Come on. Jeremy, when you know, you know. Tina, you are on fire for God. We should all be on fire for God. Yeah. Yeah, every second of every day we should be, right? All right, let's read the book of John, because this is the order in which I think we should read them to know who Jesus is. If you are searching and seeking a relationship with him for the first time or coming back to him, you know? You know how life seems sometimes slow, sometimes fast? We get a similar sense of life, of Jesus, in John's gospel. The first 11 chapters unfold over a period of 3 years, with John telling us one story after another of lives touched by the Master. Then the narrative speeds up, with the last half of the book unfolding in the final 7 days of our Lord's life, showing us all that took place during Passion Week. While the entire book of John is a holy ground, there's something uniquely sacred about chapter 17, our Lord's private prayer to the Father for himself, his disciples, and his mission. He began by lifting his eyes to heaven, as he typically did when he prayed, saying, quote, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. In the same way, the hours of our lives are passing in their proper sequence, and we must be about our Father's business, seeking to finish the work that he has given us to do. Truly incredible. Truly and utterly incredible. All right, now let's go to the book of Mark, okay? Got to go back a little bit here. The book of Mark, which is the second book I believe you should read of the Gospels, if you are seeking to know Jesus. If you live in a hurry-up world, you'll appreciate Mark. His book is fast-paced, and one of his favorite words is immediately. That term occurs 36 times in Mark's 16 chapters. They immediately left their nets, and immediately his fame spread throughout all the region. Immediately many gathered together. Immediately the girl rose. Mark writes with urgency. The first half of his book emphasizes the urgency of knowing who Christ is, the Messiah. The last half is devoted to why he came to die and rise again to redeem the world. According to very old traditions, John Mark wrote his gospel from the recollections of Simon Peter. And Peter was impulsive and impetuous in all he said and did, which helps explain why Mark's words are tinged with urgency. The urgent tone of Mark's gospel reflects the compelling mission of the gospel. We must reach people while we still can, before it's too late. Urgency. And now we go to Matthew. How did you hear about it? About him? The gospel only spreads in one way, from person to person. Perhaps you heard, wow, hold on, pause, right? As the youngsters would say. Let me read that one part again. The gospel only spreads in one way, one, from person to person. Woo! That puts a little bit of pressure on you, don't it? Perhaps you heard through another person's testimony, an article, a book, or a sermon. Perhaps you learned at home from your parents or in church from your pastor. Maybe it was a preacher on television or a radio or through a podcast. The important thing is you heard. And someone needs to hear it from you. Woo! Come on with it. That's the theme of Matthew. The opening book of the New Testament starts with the birth of Christ and the journey of the wise men to Jerusalem, seeking him who had been born as a king. As we keep reading, the gospel unfolds in the biography and the teachings of Jesus Christ. For most of the book, his Galilee ministry is emphasized. From chapters 19 through 28, we see how the story ended in Jerusalem with his final teachings, his death, and his resurrection. And now we go to the book of Luke, the last book that we should read in the order in order to understand who Jesus was, what he said, what he did, and what he felt. Oh, hold on here. Medical professionals look at life with mercy. Their lives are tied to the hurts and the pains and the sorrows of others. That is why Luke is such a vivid writer. He was a physician, and he tenderly described those touched by the ministry of Jesus. Luke was also a historian, giving us a narrative of the things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us. When you read the third gospel, you are reading a well-researched biography of Jesus Christ. Luke then combines a merciful heart with a head of truth and knowledge that reflects how we should approach others with the gospel, with accuracy and with compassion. I think Ray Comfort is perfect at that. People can't believe in their hearts what their minds reject. If they think the Bible is undependable, they can't in good conscience commit their lives to it. But the Bible is dependable, and modern apologetics have never been as strong or as accessible as it is today. Folks, we have all the freedoms in the world today to spread the gospel, and we have all the resources that we need to spread the gospel. You understand what I'm saying? It's all there. There's many ways to do it. There's many ways that you can approach spreading the gospel. The important thing is that you do. Whether it be through prayer, whether it be through teachings, open teachings, public teachings, whether it be through one-on-one ministry, whether it be through podcasts, radio, whether it be through donations, or whatever it is that you do to help somebody further their journey with Jesus. Folks, there are many ways to do it. God says that there's only one way to spread the gospel, though, and that's from person to person. But there are many ways to do it. I'm going to show you something that's going to encourage you today. This guy went to Africa. And what he did for these God-fearing Christians in Africa, you would never see this kind of gratitude here in America today. But I pray we will once again. Roll it.
How are you? Good. What's your name? I'm Sam.
Sam, nice to meet you.
Nice to. I'm just wondering, I need a dollar for something to eat.
Dollar?
Yeah, thank you so much. Why would you help?
I help because I always want to help. I risk my parents in a car accident. We have been an orphanage. God has already given us a letter, given us 7 days to live there.
I have 1 million shillings. To bless you. That's paid rent for the next month. That's yeah, amazing.
Thank
wow.
You so much.
We're going to have a pizza party at your orphanage
wow.
today.
Wow.
Coca-Cola.
Enoch, how are you, man?
See
how
you
too. Doing?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
How have you been?
We've been doing good.
The landlord can't kick us now outside the house.
We have a big surprise for
sure,
you.
Sure.
I have to just show you. You stay here.
What's it?
It's a check for your orphanage.
Sure.
$36,000, 88 million shillings.
I want to get you. We sponsor two little boys, one in South America and one in Africa. And the little boy that we've been sponsoring for the last 4 years, 3 years, 4 years, in Africa, his name is Malugata. And his birthday was 2 days ago. And their family only makes, well, he only has a mom. He doesn't have a dad, but he has brothers and sisters. And their family works, their mom works her butt off and only makes $17 a month, the equivalent of $17 a month, which is like, you know, 17 US dollars. And so when we sponsored him for $40 a month, which is what we give him. But we also send stuff for Christmas and his birthday and things like that as well. And we've watched him grow over the last few years. He sends us stuff all the time and we see his growth. But the things that they're thankful for are things that our children would never be thankful for here. You know what I mean? Like, for us, $40 is 40 bucks, right? I mean, it's 40 bucks is a lot still, even now, but for in America, 40 bucks is 40 bucks. You could spend 40 bucks going to grab, you know, dinner for two people, and that's cheap, right? That's like fast food. 40 bucks for them is over double what they're already making a month that they get every month now. And what they tell us that they buy with that is incredible. And Malugata himself, the other kid, his name is Angel. He's a little younger. But Malugata is, he loves God, loves Jesus, loves school. These kids don't get access to academia like we do. So when they do, knowledge to them is everything. They love it. So we sponsor two boys, Malugata, who lives in Africa, and Angel. Both of them live in squalor. But that gratitude that you saw Enoch in his orphanage give to that man, I mean, he grabbed him and took him to the ground and just... Kittenhead said, how can we sponsor? I'll actually bring tomorrow the people that we use. It's called Compassion International. And they're really great. Our church is affiliated with them. They're really great. CQ just said, I just started sponsoring a child through Compassion. That's who it is. That's who it is. That's Compassion International. You can help dig wells. You can get them a cow. You can get them a goat. That's like the gift that keeps on giving. You know what I mean? Ladies and gentlemen, I love you so much. I do. And I want to thank you for being here with me every day. Like I said, a lot of people may not see the... A lot of people may not see how big something last night was for them. But for me, there's nothing in this world better than when God speaks to me. You know what I mean? The Father of creation speaking to a wretch like me. Amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for Rise Up today. I got to get myself emotionally and physically ready for Live from America in an hour. But I'm going to ask you to go watch Mike Crispy and Unafraid. They put a lot of work into the production. Good people, good guys. A little rough around the edges, but who isn't here on LFA TV, right? Mike Crispy comes up next, followed by Live from America for 2 hours. Ladies and gentlemen, God bless you. Thank you for being here. Keep seeking Jesus. I love you all so much. God bless. Have a great morning. And make sure you go out to bless someone today and spread the gospel, not gossip. See you later.